Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Warning. This podcast involves discussions of a spooky and graphic nature, not suitable for children or the faint of heart. Strong language and mature content is present. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned.
Hey there, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode of Three Spooked Girls. It is I, Jessica, and as always, I am joined by my favorite ghoul friend, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
And this week, oh my God, this week, guys, we are so excited because it's our 1 year anniversary.
Yay!
We're so excited. Well, technically tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary because we all know how the calendar works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we are so excited today to come at you. We're actually going to redo our first ever episode.
Yes, we are. I'm so excited.
So we're going to talk about the Black Eyed Kids. You know how much I hate them, but I'm doing this because I love you. So in anticipation of it being our 1 year anniversary, we asked you to ask us questions and then we took the top 10.
Yeah. So excited.
Yeah. So Tara's going to ask the questions and then we're going to answer them. And I don't even know the questions yet because she kept them from me.
Yes. Top secret. So I got them.
Yeah.
So I'll read them.
Okay. Let's get down to it.
Okay. So first one is, have you ever had a celebrity encounter? Who was it and how did it go?
Well, my mom used to work for Tower Records, so I've met several celebrities, but I don't know, I've met a few. I don't know. You tell your story first.
The biggest one, I guess, is the most exciting one was I met Taylor Swift before she was Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, you did. I remember. I remember this picture.
Yes. I met her when she was like brand fucking new.
She was a baby.
Had her huge hair.
Mm-hmm.
And had that first album. And she was so new. She was performing at a casino for one.
Right.
And two, that she did a impromptu meet and greet and was like, anybody that wants to meet me after the show, I'm gonna stand right here by the stage and y'all can line up and meet me. So my ass did.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have the picture somewhere. I'll have to try to find it.
It was you and Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And one of you wore that really bright ass orange tank top. And probably was her.
Yeah, not me.
Well, okay. So I've met a lot through my mom's work, but I think I want to say my favorite. I mean, there is the time that I met the porn star in the bathroom at an Oakland A's game, but I don't know if that counts as a celebrity.
I mean, yes.
I didn't know who she was. We were at a group event and someone was like, oh my God, do you know who that girl is? And I was like, I don't know. I met her in the bathroom. She seems really nice. And they're like, she's a porn star. And I was like, oh,
okay.
But that's not my, when I was a little kid, I was flying and I was in an airport. And I went up to the counter and ordered a bagel.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Fraser came up behind me and ordered a bagel. And there was only one bagel left. And the mofo behind the counter gave it to him.
Rude.
So I didn't actually meet Brendan Fraser.
He stole a bagel from you.
Right. Okay. And mind you, I'm always like, fuck Brendan Fraser. He stole my bagel. But in reality, it's like, it's that douche behind the counter who was like, this child, you know, It was like right before his career really took off. Yeah. So, but he was like still a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was in an airport. I was like 11. I was still pissed. I was like, okay, whatever.
Oh my God. That's hella funny. All right. The next one is, oh, and then that question was from Augie Peterson, BT Dubs, on Twitter. So the next question comes from Dave. And his question is, if you could talk to a famous dead ghost, who would it be?
Dead ghost?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, obviously the Bell Witch.
Right? I know. I knew that was going to be your answer.
Obviously, I'm going to be like, I need to talk with Kate. Hold on, guys.
Hold on. Please hold. I will pick Lizzie Borden because why the fuck not?
Right, Lizzie. That's a good one. I would want to ask her like whether she really did it. And I would hope that we'd be enough of a ghoul friends at that point that she'd be like, I did it.
Right.
Because, I mean, she's dead at this point. Why not just like let people know like, oh, yeah, I axed his face.
Mm-hmm. This next one is from Wynn Kelly Charles. It is, what's the hardest thing about podcasting?
Time commitment.
Yeah, I would say that. And then just, it was hard to, at first, not really now because it's just a staple in our week, but it was hard to figure out a consistent recording schedule at first.
Mm-hmm. It really was. And when I say time commitment, I don't mean like I think this is a waste of time. I mean like it's something that, like, your family has to be on board with this. Like, my husband has to be on board with it.
Yeah.
Tara's husband and child have to be on board with it because it can become a thing that, like, your whole life is obsessed with. So for me, it was hard finding that balance. Like, This is the easy part, is getting on here and talking and sharing our information. But there's also, like, hours of research that go into it. So when you add that on top of sitting down, and you guys might hear like an hour episode, but for Tara and I, like between like having to take breaks or messing up or something along those lines.
Yeah, for a good example, like the BTK episode that just went live last week, that recording was just under 2 hours long. And when I was done editing it, it was like under an hour 10. Yeah, it's definitely just, I think you're right. Just the time commitment and stuff. And because, you know, for research, and then also like on my side, I'm editing. I usually edit on Sundays for our show because I work full time as well. So we both work full time hours that are not just 40 hours a week.
Right.
Yeah. Just, you know, kind of finding that way to place it in your life, because if you don't have that support system or that understanding from your other half or whoever you live with, it can definitely cause a lot of issues, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been worth it and worked out.
Yeah, because there's a lot of respect that goes into us recording, because like our husbands and like Tara's child have to be quiet. So it's something that I'm very grateful to both our spouses for. Matt and Thomas have been extremely like, I don't even know how to explain how supportive they've been through this. Thanks, guys.
Right.
You guys have been amazing.
Yeah, it's for real. I know, like, shit, there's been plenty of times, like, we joke Matt's the intern, and that's because literally he cooks on the nights we record, and he brings me food, which I appreciate.
I want to say Thomas made me dinner tonight, so I was impressed. Aww. I didn't know that he made me dinner. He had put it in the fridge, so when I went to get, like, a refill of my drink earlier, he's like, oh, there's food in there for you. So I was like, oh, thanks. Walk it in, like, intern Matt.
Oh, so cute. So cute.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one comes from our friend over at Haunted Happenstance podcast.
Hey.
She asked, if you could do a show about any topic at all, just for one episode, what would it be?
Parks and Rec.
I knew it. I fucking knew it when I read that. I knew that was what was going to happen.
Or Mindhunter. Like, honestly, I know I just really limited it to like TV shows, but I don't know. There's literally a Leslie Knope, like, Popco thing, like, above my desk, like, staring down at me to, like, give me power. That and Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And the little figurine that we got when we were on our girls' weekend, the little, but I lost Mad-Eye's hair.
Aw.
So it's just stuck as David Tennant right now, which is, I'm not mad at it, but that would be fun, because, I don't know, if you guys want me to, I would love to talk about Parks and Rec. When Tara told me she had never watched it, and I was like, what? Excuse me? Our friendship was a little rocky for a minute. I was like,
binge this now.
You immediately.
So automatically I was like, Parks and Rec, yes. Or I would definitely do it on like the British Baking Championship show. I fucking love that show too.
I love that show. Or Harry Potter. Like, I just realized, yes, like, neither Harry one Potter of us too. Immediately said Harry Potter.
Yeah. There's so many Harry Potter podcasts, though, you know.
I know. I think that's probably why we're like.
Right.
I mean, I was on a Harry Potter podcast once, but I loved it. And I love talking about Harry Potter. And I get really excited because I have an addiction to watching TikToks.
Yes, you do.
I do. I send them to Tara.
I now have the TikTok app just because Jessica has sent me so many fucking videos.
I know. She's like annoyed that she has to like do the whole process every time. But honestly, like, I just love watching people cosplay Harry Potter characters. And I'm like, yay. Oh my God, Harry Potter, Tara. Though today I sent her one of like what I want for my 35th birthday. So
it was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
All right. So the next question comes from Not For The Dinner Table. They asked if you had a ghost guide, and in parentheses, they put a ghost that helped you through day to day. Who would it be and why?
I mean, mine's really easy. It'd be my grandma.
Aw.
Like, you know, because she's my mom. So like I would want her in my day to day life to go through. Or my dad. Like, can I have both of them?
Yeah.
I'd want my like family who's deceased to be with me. I don't know. But if I could only pick one, oh God, it's so hard because you know how much it's like my dad and my mom. They're like different presences in my life. So
yeah.
And if you guys didn't realize that about me, like I joke that I'm a 33-year-old orphan. So
it's so sad.
I know, but I'm like, I'm a full grown adult, but I'm fine. But yeah, I think I'd want one of them. I don't know. How about you? You can have whichever one I don't get if you would like. I mean,
yeah, let's just go with that because I don't really know.
My parents loved Tara. Like,
yes.
They've never really trusted many people to hang out in my house when I would go like away, like to work or something. But they wouldn't even bat an eye that Tara was like hanging out at our house.
Nope.
They would call me and be like, do I need to feed her? I'm like, did you ask her if she's hungry? Well, I don't know. I'm like, she hasn't come out of the room in a while. I'm like, then knock. She's probably giving you your space because this is your house.
Okay. I just realized while I'm going through these, we may have more than 10. So whoopsie, but it's okay. What country would you choose to live in and why? I guess if not just the United States.
I mean, I like the United States because I live here.
Yeah.
I've been to Austria and I picked German up really well. But England also might be easy because then I could, you know, just the language. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about you?
I really enjoyed when we were in Canada. So I'd pick Canada. Oh. I know that's not like exotic or crazy or anything, but.
Oh. Well, I've been to Austria, which is why I'm like, I'd go to Austria.
Yeah, but I really liked Canada when we drove through. So I could live there. I could live there. That question was from Michelle, by the way. Thank you, Michelle. I'm terrible at this. Anyway, okay. This one is from What the Fuck Is In This Book. What advice would you give a new paranormal podcast starting out?
Be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, like when we first started out, it was looking at who else was out there in the marketplace or like podcast sphere. And I think a little bit we were like, how do we be like them? Because they have listeners. And then we just kind of organically developed between Tara and I our way of doing it.
We're not trying to be anybody else.
Right. Like, I think at the end of the day, it's just be yourself, because if you're not genuine, it's going to sound weird.
That's true. And it'll just take time to get your flow and get comfortable. It takes about 25 or so episodes to kind of get going and all of that stuff. And then even as you go, like, you'll grow and change. I mean, sorry, I'm like stuffed up. Not crying. I'm just stuffed up.
She's so emotional, guys.
No, I had a cold all last week. Sorry. You grow as a person, so you'll grow as a podcaster. And then it's just, it's patience. Mm-hmm. It's not overnight. It's patience.
Yeah. And it's like staying true to who you are throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
I know it's like be yourself, but it's also like it's easy because a lot of times you get like the flash in the pan people like networks or something like that who are like, hey, come join us and you'll have to change everything about your show.
Yeah.
But you can join us. But it's like for us, stay true to who you are, because that's how we love it, is that it's our thing.
That, and then also when you go and make connections with people, it's not to be what's in it for you. Like, go to make these connections to make friendships. I know that sounds cheesy too, but it's like we've made some really good pod friends since we've done this. So it's a great community.
True.
Not just the paranormal, just the indie community in general. It's just it's so welcoming. It's not mean, scary from what we've seen.
That's what I thought when we first started. Like, I was like, oh my God, like we would reach out to bigger podcasts and be like, oh my God, can you give us advice? Thinking like never in a million years are these people even going to give us the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And I mean, sometimes it worked out really great for us. we've made some really great friendships, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's really all we got for that. Our next question comes from the lovely ladies of Hellbound. Shout out to Sarah and Lara. They're also clients of mine, so I always laugh because it's Sarah, Lara, and Tara in our little group message we have.
That's really adorable.
I know, right? So they asked, what are some of your favorite episodes that you have done? I'll let you go first.
Lizzie Borden was one of my favorites. The Bell Witch was one of my favorites. Ted Bundy was one of my favorites. Dahmer. If you're noticing a pattern. People who kill people. I don't know. I really enjoy doing the stabbies now. Like, I think they're really fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. BTK was a fun one to research because I think we had been holding on to it for so long. Mm-hmm. It's hard because sometimes in the process, like research part, I'm really upset. But I love the finished product that Tara and I put together. So,
yeah.
What about you?
I really enjoyed the Salem episode.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I thought the ACT series was fun.
Oh, that was good.
I do like the stabbies too a lot just because they're like really quick and to the point and, you know, it's just kind of fun to do those. Mm-hmm. I always like the listeners' encounters too. I like pretty much all our episodes. I know it's lame to say, but like I like almost all of them. And then I think like my favorite true crime one that we've done, I really enjoyed. I thought it was cool when we did our local to us serial killers.
Oh, that was good.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. I liked that one.
Your dude just died.
He did just die last week. Crazy. Butcher Baker just died. If you don't know, go back a bit. You can go listen to that shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So our next one is from the username Nanabones. Are there stories and people who you still want to make episodes about who you haven't gotten to yet? And if so, who? Love you, ghouls. Well, Nana Bones. I don't know what your real name is. I'm sorry. And I just have a screenshot, so I can't click it. you know who you are. If you haven't caught on by now, we don't give away our secrets. So yes, there are plenty, mm-hmm. plenty of topics and people we would love to do episodes on that are coming.
Every once in a while we get stumped and then we reach out to you guys and you tell us and then we brainchild it to the point where we're like 4 months out and recording.
Yeah. And then each of us on our own end, we like make our own list and then we come back and we just like more, more, more. So yeah, we're always thinking of new stuff. So we won't give anything away, but there's a lot of topics that we've been wanting to cover for a while that's going to be coming out in the month of October and the rest of this month. So I know we're super excited about that.
Yes. It's the spooktacular Halloween season.
Yes.
Of us. Because like you guys are going to be really excited because kind of starting, I would say now.
Yeah.
Really until the end of October, like Tara and I have nailed down some topics and it is going to be fucking fabulous. You're going to be so excited.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The wonderful Radio Flanagan asked, how do you avoid litigation from defamation on any of the reported cases you report on where you give your opinion or interpretation about an element of the case which may be factually incorrect or imply something that is your own opinion and not strictly what's been reported? Parentheses, big question, I know.
Honestly, like, we're a podcast.
Yeah.
And podcasts are about people's opinions. And the difference is like people are being accused of these things. So like if we're factually incorrect and someone were to come to us and say, hey, you know, we listen to your podcast and these are factually incorrect, you need to make good on that. Tara and I totally would. Like we would come on here and make a special announcement saying, hey, like we said this. I mean, a lot of the things people we report on are dead.
That's true.
Like, nobody from Ted Bundy's camp is coming after us. Mm-mm. It is a good question.
I feel like we keep it very respectful for the most part.
And we're always willing to give you sources.
Yes. And we have our source. We link our sources and things like that. But yeah, obviously, if there's something we got wrong, we're always happy to correct that. And there's even been times where we've like read something and we're like, we don't know if this is right. If anyone wants to fact check us or anyone knows about this, let us know.
Right.
We always leave that door open too. As you guys know, like you can always DM us, email us and stuff. Cause I know we've gotten some messages from people and they're like, oh my God, you actually responded. I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Like,
I mean, respond pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'll just put myself on blast. We did the Yuma episode. Mm-hmm. And I was reading straight from the website and I used an non-politically correct term for Native Americans. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't doing it in a way where I was like calling them out as that. Mm-hmm. One of our listeners reached out to us and was like, hey, just to let you know, this could be offensive. And I immediately was like, I had said it. So I responded and was like, I'm really sorry that I said it in this way, but this is why I said it, is because I was reading it off a website. Like, mm-hmm. we're not trying to be. So, like, I know that's putting myself on blast, but.
Yeah, they understood. And that was a good exchange. And
yeah,
us now linking stuff more clearly is new. Mm-hmm. So I think you even sent her the link, too.
Yeah, I did. And honestly, like, one of the things is that, like, the reason why Tara and I have stepped up our game as far as putting links in is we want you guys to be able to go and look at the research we've done and decide whether it's credible or not. If you go to one of the websites we go to and you're like, I don't like this, I don't find this credible, you can always tell us. Mm-hmm. And again, if someone came at us and was like, you are having defamation of character on a serial killer or a murderer, I would be like, well, okay. I mean, they're a murderer. Like, if there's someone innocent, like, and that's the thing is, like, you guys have to realize I'm one of the first people who are like, oh my God, I don't think they did it.
Yeah. There's plenty of people who we haven't discussed yet. Jessica's been like, what if this person's innocent? I'm like, Jessica, bitch, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, seriously. There's going to be an episode that's coming out. Like, I don't know when, but it's going to come out and I'm going to come out with an unpopular opinion and y'all are going to be a little shook.
Probably November, December, I would say. Once we start like our next cycle, we're going to get this one in because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, it's going in like it's going to be like first episode. And I mean, and that's the thing is, as my dad used to say, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And sometimes they don't smell the greatest. So and not to like diminish it at all. But if someone ever came to us and was like,
yeah,
there's possibly a litigation of defamation of character, we'd obviously like try to work it out. Like, we're not going to be like, hey. Whatever.
Yeah, no, we would, if we were in the wrong for something, we would obviously make it right. We wouldn't just brush it under the rug or anything like that.
And here's the thing, like, if people are going to come at us to be like, you know, we're not rich, so no one's coming after us for a bunch of money.
No.
So
we actually, I think we ended up with like 11 questions, but that's okay.
Oh.
Because we got a couple, looks like from the Facebook group. So Shannon asked, what was your scariest encounter? I feel like the easiest way to answer this one is just to go back and re-listen to our encounters episode, which is like kind of older now. Mm-hmm. But I think those are probably our scariest ones. Mm-hmm. And then also shout out to Shannon, because I know you had a busy day. She actually was the winner of our little sticker thing from last week.
Oh, congrats.
So, but yeah, I would say just go back and listen. It's interesting. And we're always happy to maybe do a live on that too sometime. You never know. You never know.
It's true.
All right. And then our last question comes from Caitlin. She has like a two-parter. One, what is your favorite legend? And then also for like cryptids and stuff, if it could be real, is there one specifically you'd want to like be in existence?
Legend for me is pretty much always Sleepy Hollow. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite like legend. I mean, there's like urban legends that I'm like, that's kind of a cool legend. But like, honestly,
yeah,
huge fan of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I think I'd be in agreeance with that. Cryptids, I'm not really too familiar with them. We haven't really covered them on the show. Mm-mm. I only semi know what Mothman is. I guess Wendigo's one too, technically, right?
Fuck Wendigo.
That's scary as shit, so no thank you. But I don't even really know what Mothman is too much, and I know everyone's gonna be like, bitch, you're dumb, but it's fine. But like, Mackenzie, the girl who did our logo, she has these cute pins out. So I was like, oh my God, I want one. So that's the only reason why I know about Mothman at all. So, fail.
I am still not over the Wendigo skinwalker thing, and then the fact that one of our listeners has had an experience with one.
Ugh.
Yeah. I am still shook. Like, I still have nightmares for that person. Ugh. I'm like, oh my God. Like, there's very few topics in this world that freak me the fuck out. Wendigos and black-eyed children are two of those.
But that's a great segue, because that's gonna conclude our Q&A portion of this.
Yay! Woo, woo, woo. And again, if you're listening to this and it's Monday, realize that on Tuesday, manana, tomorrow, we are going to be having a live.
Yes.
And we are going to be talking about JonBenet Ramsey. I don't know why I said it like that. It just felt really fucking fancy. And
felt right. Felt right.
It did. So we're going to be talking about JonBenet Ramsey, and we're going to be celebrating our official 1 year. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's been a year.
I know. It's insane.
And like, I'm so excited that a lot of you are OG listeners and you've been with us since the beginning and you somehow found us. And we love and appreciate you guys.
And stuck with us and stuck with that crappy audio. Jesus, it makes me want to die, but thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. We have learned. We have grown. Yes. Thank you so much. And for all of you newer spooksters, we're so, so happy to have you here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so excited for not only just what we've gotten to experience this past year, but what we have going on the next year and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes. So now that that's over, we're going to just go ahead and treat this like a regular episode now.
Woohoo! Now that it took us an hour to get there. But that's fine. So what are you drinking tonight, Tara?
Like I mentioned, and I know someone's going to be like shaming me when they're listening to this, is fine. I'm not drinking alcohol because I was still getting over my cold from all of last week / today. But I have a fucking Red Bull, but it's gone now. So I also have my water, per usual.
Yay, water.
And Baja Blast that I haven't even touched yet.
So delicious.
That you can hear.
Honestly, Baja Blast reminds me of you. Like when I go to Taco Bell
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, what should I get? And like the board will have like Baja Blast. I'm like, it always reminds me of you. So this week, I didn't make this drink this week, guys. I just found it for you. It's a little later than we normally record.
Yes.
So I didn't want to drink because then I will not wake up in time to go to my meeting tomorrow, which would be bad. And my boss would be very mad at me. But I did find you guys a drink. It's called Demon Juice because we're talking about black-eyed children. And one of the things is that they are considered a demon.
Yes, yes, yes. So what's in that?
It's got simple syrup and you can have Halloween sprinkles, ice, 2 ounces of orange vodka, 2 ounces of sour apple pucker, 1 ounce triple sec, 1 drop neon green food coloring, 1 teaspoon of silver cake shimmer. Don't know what that is. And then lemon lime soda. And then you pour the simple syrup into a small bowl and add the Halloween sprinkles and then dip the rim of your glass into the simple syrup. And then you put the sprinkles around it. You set that aside. You fill the glass to the rim with ice. In a bar shaker, you add 2 to 3 pieces of ice, vodka, the pucker, green food coloring, the silver shimmer, the triple sec, and shake to combine. And then you pour your mix into the glass and then top with lemon lime soda. And if you want it to be extra creepy, put some of your sprinkles in the cocktail.
There you go. If you're listening to this on Monday, run out, drink it tomorrow when you're watching us live.
I will not be drinking it tomorrow live, so.
No, we got other plans. We got other plans.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As per use, you can find all of our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff with the great content in our show notes below. Tara has put it in a link tree. Our source page, Tara has put down below as a link that you can click and go see. It's on our website. You can go check all that stuff out. Our merch store is there. And then, of course, there's a link to the Patreon. Now, I know that we talk about Patreon and y'all probably are like, what is Patreon? You talk about it a lot. So what it is it's a way for you to help support us in doing the show. And we give you stuff for it. It's not just like, hey, give us stuff. We actually want to give you stuff. So every patron, whether you're $1 or $10, get bonus episodes. $5 patrons and up, get videos each month. A lot of times you get your own little special thing. They watch a full episode most of the time, unless we do like a very specific one for them that we record. So you get to see a lot of the banter that Tara and I do that doesn't make into the show. A lot of that stuff. $10 and up, you get a mug. You get to pick an episode. So if there's, we did the one on paranormal tech. So if there's something that we haven't done or you want us to dive deeper into, you can definitely do that by requesting it. And now we've reached the portion of the show where we have hit our promo.
Yes, yes.
Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Courtney.
And I'm Andreelle.
And we're the hosts of Spellcast,
a podcast that seeks to bridge the gap between the mundane and the occult.
Join us every Friday night for a new episode.
We cover everything from candle magic to Kabbalah.
You can follow us at Witchy Page on Instagram and Facebook, and also email us at witchypage@gmail.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
If you really like the show, you can donate on anchor.fm and soon Patreon. All of our supporters get special perks and extra content. So join our coven.
And remember,
there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that promo. We are now going to dive into the Black Eyed Children.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first episode Tara and I ever did as part of the podcast. It's the very first topic Three Spooked Girls ever talked about. And I mentioned then and still, well, this time wasn't so bad because I already knew about them, but I hate the Black Eyed Children. I did not sleep for like 2 weeks because how we basically did back then is we decided our topic and then it was like, okay, we're going to research. And it was like 2 weeks worth of research.
Mm-hmm.
And now Tara and I research like multiple things a night or multiple things a week. So also, I believe the original episode is still up for limited time.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to start taking down some episodes.
Yes. They will be migrating over to our Patreon. So patrons, you will still be able to hear the OG classic Three Spooked Girls episodes. And this is just personal reasons we decided to do that because we know some people like to start from the beginning. And while, yes, that is where we came from, some of our little bit still early, but a little bit later episodes kind of reflect our show a little better, especially because I'm like, oh, God, we were on Skype. This is terrible. Makes me want to die.
Oh, my God. We used to just straight record on Skype and it would like drop and it would get staticky. And it was there was so much anxiety around it. And we've grown up so much.
Yes. So they will be off the main feed, but patrons, or if you want to become a patron, they will make their way over there. So they will not totally disappear. They'll still be there. But yes. Yes, yes. So let's do this. Let's talk about these creepy ass kids.
So this is the contemporary legend of the black-eyed kids. So they resemble children ages between 6 and 16. Some have said as young as 4, but the average is 6 to 16. They have pale skin, large bulbous black eyes. Gives me the... They are typically... I know, I'm just like, I hate them. Generally, they're seen hitchhiking, panhandling, or trying to convince you to let them the fuck in. Don't do it.
Mm-mm.
Essentially, what happened is in the 1980s, there was some tabloid coverage in the UK. I'm not going to show them, but in our sources, there's going to be one that has like all of the titles of them. And they were like ridiculous things like screaming black-eyed children seen. And you're like, well, in that picture, that kid isn't even screaming. Like, it was like funny because there was like three at the top and there was like the middle one. The kid was like, eh, like being creepy. And the picture that they actually used of that is just a little girl just like standing there. But yeah. But then it kind of became more when a Texas reporter, Brian Bethel, basically came out and said that he had an experience. And his story is that he was parked in a movie theater parking lot. He was, I think, paying like his Sprint bill or something like that. And it was like across the parking lot from the actual movie theater, which is like, I think was playing like Mortal Kombat at the time or some shenanigans like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was sitting in his car, writing the check by like the dome light. He all of a sudden gets this weird feeling and looks out his driver's side door. And there are these two kids fucking standing there staring at him, but like their head is down. So like they were in hoodies and so he couldn't see them. He said he was immediately gripped with an incomprehensible soul sucking fear. Like that's some good description. He had no clue why. So he cracked his window and was like, what's up, dudes? What are you doing? And they were like, hey, so we were at the movies. We were seeing Mortal Kombat and we were wondering if you could give us a ride home. And he's like, I got this really, really creepy, uneasy feeling. And he's like, no, no, no. And then like the kids became aggressive and like knocked on the window and were like, let us in. And Bethel was like, no. And I just got the fuck out of there.
Don't blame him. That's the smartest thing to do.
I know. I'm like, get the fuck out. Like crazy pants is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Bethel waited 2 years. And if you remember from the original episode, I was triggered on that because I thought like, if something like that happened to me, I would tell someone quicker than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I was, you know, a journalist, which he was.
Right.
So I don't really know how much I believe Brian. I'm sorry, Brian. It's just like one of those things. It's really like his word. There was no like security tapes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, in one of the links in the sources, you can see that there's like an Instagram where there's like security footage that sees like this kid pop up in the road and then disappear. And this motorcycle almost hits it.
Mm.
So I do believe they exist. I just don't know if Brian saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just a personal opinion, putting asterisks out there for anyone paying attention. Like, the stories of them scare me. Like, the creepypastas, when Tara reads them, I will be, like, upset the whole time. I brought my blankie in, I'll be fine. But they're kind of extreme. They're either wearing, like, extremely modern clothes, or their clothes just, they don't appear to fit in with where they're at. Either they're, like, they have holes in them or something along those lines. Sometimes they might wear sunglasses to hide their eyes, but typically they either have hair in their face or they have their faces covered with long bangs because they're trying to conceal those bulbous eyes. They're said to have talon feet.
Oh, I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not either, which that scares me. Like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to sage my life now. Thank you.
Right.
And then they're known to travel in pairs. Typically, one is older, so it's like several years older. So you think like, oh, that those kids are together. They appear a lot of times at night, though people have reported seeing them in the daytime. Like, I remember from the first episode we did, I think we told a story of like a kid got out of school and then his mom was getting a haircut and a black-eyed kid came up to them and asked to get in the car and be taken someplace. That's the other thing, is that they cannot enter your home or vehicle or premise without your permission. Keyword, your permission. So they try to convince you to come in, but you have a very uneasy feeling. Not a lot is known about the interactions of these. And most people who say they have an interaction, they get sick and die.
Right.
Of like cancer.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a lot of stories of like cancer or other sicknesses and or just a mystery and we don't know.
Mm-hmm. They're said to be telepathic, that a lot of times that they can look like they're talking to each other. Like, that was one of the things that Brian said in his story, is that when the kids were standing outside his car, they would like look at each other for long periods of time and then speak to him. And there was always one speaking. So there's like a theory out there that it's actually like one entity, but it's like tricking a person. And I mean, this is what scares me the most, is this preys on everything like adults fear, is like children being out on their own, needing help. Like, this isn't like a 35-year-old biker showing up at your door in the middle of the night where you're going to be like, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying? Like, a scary person, yeah, showing up at your door in the middle of the night.
It's bait, essentially, the form it's taking. Yeah.
Right. Apparently, they get really upset if you don't let them in. They get mad. They throw little temper tantrums. But most of the time, they appear out of nowhere, and then they disappear out of nowhere. There's been several photos taken of them over time, and most of the time, they're proven to be, like, hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where, you know, people have put in those, like, black contacts, because now they have, like, black contacts.
Mm-hmm.
There's been several movies made. There was that new one. What is it called?
They Come Knocking, I think it was, mm-hmm, called. Yeah, I watched. Yeah, I did a live on that one. It was okay.
Yeah. They're not the most popular of paranormal entity, mm-mm, stories, but I don't know. They just scare the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
They're said to either be demons, aliens, and or like vampires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get the vampire thing because people are like, they have to be invited in.
Right. I read on Reddit with the alien thing, it was like that they're a hybrid between the grays and a human, because when people get abducted, there's sometimes like some kind of sketchy stuff going on. So the females get impregnated and then that's just bam, like a kid.
Oh, that's a fascinating thing. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that one before when we had done our research, but I came across this when I was looking for my story for this time around, and I saw that and I thought it was interesting.
That is a very interesting.
Mm-hmm. These posts with this theory are within the last 6 or so months, like under a year. So obviously they weren't up when we researched this before. So
that's a really cool theory. Like, I mean, that in my mind, like, we all know how I feel about aliens. Like, I do believe aliens exist. I just don't think that they want anything to do with us. Like, if I was an alien and I came by this planet, I'd be like, they're killing it first. Their rainforest is on fire. Why the fuck would we stay here? Like, they're not responsible. Why would I want to see this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people who were like, they want to know how we've made this planet successful. It's like, we have not. Like, I mean, no. But I would say that I think that they're out there. I just don't think that they care about us. But I mean, that makes sense. Like, maybe they abduct people and essentially they do naughty things. They do naughty things with the aliens.
You never know.
So I might be missing some stuff, but we have already done an episode on it. And if you really, really want to hear that, you can go and listen. But I'm going to turn it over to Tara, who's going to tell us some terrifying stories about these hellish creatures.
Yes. Well, while I was doing my my digging for a story, I, of course, came across the ones we have read in the past. I didn't want to do that again. I wanted to, you know, find something new.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, I wanted to pick something kind of different that I know we did not read. So, yeah, we are going to go ahead and read a Black-Eyed Kids creepypasta. So definitely throwing it back here because I haven't read a creepypasta in a while. This one is called Camping with Black-Eyed Kids, written by blank because it literally doesn't say. And I'm going to apologize for my voice because, like I said, I'm got the tail end of this cold. So sorry, guys. Okay. My encounter with Black-Eyed Kids. Please share. I'd like to know other people's thoughts. Thank you. First, a quick intro about myself. I'm a 26-year-old male. I work at a small private college in Michigan. I'm a normal average guy. I like hockey, HBO shows, kayaking, hiking, and camping. I have a girlfriend, I love my dad, my sister, and have a pet dog named Bear. While I keep an open mind, I don't believe in ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and I'm not even too sure about God. The way I see it, if I haven't encountered it firsthand or seen documentation, verifiable proof, then I keep a healthy amount of skepticism. There's one thing I do believe in now, and I never did before. Hell, I didn't even know about it before. Black fucking eye kids. As I said earlier, I loved to hike and camp. For reasons too introspective to get into fully here, I just loved the solitude, peace, and serenity that the outdoors provided me. My life is not overly stressful, chaotic, or dramatic, but every once in a while a man needs to get away from it all. Being alone in the wilderness gave me the opportunity to clear my head, be introspective, and consider the facts of life. I love the beauty of the natural world, and I try to appreciate the small and big things, from the smallest clover to the biggest mountain. I think it's my belief in beauty that helped me cope as well as I have with what I'm about to share. In late August of 2010, I set out for Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, located along Lake Michigan. I scheduled 5 days off of work, and I planned on making the most of it. Sleeping Bear is one of my most favorite parks in Lower Michigan. I know it to be a great place for some solitude, and having usually been abandoned by sun worshippers by mid-August, I knew I'd have most of the park to myself. So, I wasn't surprised when I arrived the first day. Found my usual parking spot, a sand parking lot just yards from the lake, and didn't see another person. As I sat on the hood of my car overlooking the beach and the lake, I remembered breathing deeply and saying aloud, "Thank God for solitude." I ate lunch, walked down to the beach, and put my bare feet in the water. Cold, very cold. It didn't matter to me, though, because I didn't come to swim. I came to hike and to camp. I came to, as was my tradition, sit by a warm fire on a cold night, sipping on my flask of whiskey, enjoying the sounds of the forest. However, this peaceful tradition didn't happen. The proper procedure when camping at a state or national park, if you've never been, is to check in at the ranger station. There you pay your fees, obtain your backcountry pass if you're going to be camping in the backcountry, as I always do, and then give the rangers your information, which is license plate, make and model of your car, etc. After my quick stop at the beach to eat my lunch, I headed to the nearby 15 or so minute drive and get my affairs in order. The ranger station is manned until mid-October, I think, so it was open and I didn't have to travel to the main station about half an hour drive north. I park in the station's parking lot and I walk to the office. The ranger and I spoke for a little and he asked me for my license plate number. I knew he was going to ask, but I still forgot to write it down. So I walk back out towards my car and I see two kids sitting at a bench just in front of where I'm parked. They weren't there when I parked and I didn't notice them when I walked into the station. But at this point in time, I'm happy to be on vacation, so I take no real notice. I walk back to my car, jot down the license plate number, and walk back into the office. I take care of business in the office and step out and walk to the connecting bathroom. The backcountry area I'm staying at, White Pine, has a pit toilet. Think a port-a-john, but just with a deep hole in the ground. But I'd like to use a real bathroom while I can. I go into the restroom and go into the empty stall. As I'm taking care of my business, I hear the bathroom door open. I hear whispered voices. It's a small bathroom, and I can't make out what the voices are saying. But I can tell they're kids' voices, though, and I figure it's the kids I saw near my car earlier. No biggie, right? I finish up and open the stall. Sure enough, there are the two kids standing outside the stall. I remember saying, "It's all yours," as I walk to the sink. The kids just stood there. When you think about it now, in reading, the situation seems a little spooky. But at the time, if you were in the situation yourself, I'd bet that you wouldn't be the slightest bit worried. Neither was I. I wash my hands and glance in the mirror, only to notice the kids looking right at me. This is the first time, but certainly not the last, on this trip that my spine tingles with fear. The goddamn kids had completely black eyes. No whites in their eyes at all. Like I said, this is a pretty small bathroom. They were no more than 3 feet away. At first, I couldn't do or say anything. I'm literally frozen with fear. The water runs over my hands, but I can't feel it. I'm so deep inside my head at this moment that all I can hear are my thoughts, which were something along the lines of, "Ah!" All jokes aside, I was petrified. It was only when one of the kids, a brown-haired boy, I would guess was probably around 12, took a step towards me that my fight-or-flight instincts took over control for my fear. I turned off the water. Why I bothered, I don't know. Habit, I guess. And I moved a step back from the kids and towards the door. Seemingly sensing my fear, the boy didn't make another step towards me. Instead, he stopped. I guess he was trying to keep from frightening me too much. Didn't work.
"Can you help us?"
That's what the boy said when finally one of us spoke. For a moment, I did want to help. I consider myself a pretty nice guy. I go out of my way to help pregnant women carry groceries to their car. I'd rescue cats from trees if the situation arose. And for a while, I thought that's why I wanted to help those creepy kids. I thought my sheer decency was what made me, despite my better judgment and despite my fear, want to help them. Only since I began researching the black-eyed kids did I realize I didn't want to help those kids, but whatever magical, mystical voodoo power shit they have, they made me want to help them. I can't tell you with any certainty how long I stood motionless thinking about helping those kids, but it felt like an eternity. Finally, like a physical shaking of my brain, I said, "No, not right now. I gotta go." And then I left the bathroom. In that 2 seconds, my back was turned on those kids. Leaving the bathroom, I felt certain I was going to die. I thought as soon as my back was turned, they were going to tear me to shreds. It was with knee-buckling relief that I left the bathroom and walked out into the midday sun. I walked 15 or so feet to my car on noodle-like legs, too afraid to look behind me. I fumbled for my keys, unlocked my door, sat down, closed the door, and locked it. Only then, in the safety of my locked car, did I feel safe enough to look back towards the bathroom. Damned if the little bastards weren't standing just outside the bathroom, staring at me with the big, black, soulless sucking eyes. I want to take a moment to explain a little more about myself. I'm not a big man, but I'm not small either. I'm 6 foot with shoes on, I would always say, and I'm around 185 pounds. What I'm saying is, I can take a couple of 12-year-olds in a fight. I assume. I've never actually fought any 12-year-olds since I was 12 myself. In my hiking, I've encountered odd people before. I turned a bend on a trail only to startle a grizzly bear. I've been lost once and ran out of water once, and I've even had a tree fall in the middle of my campsite during a gale-swept night in Tennessee as I was drifting off to sleep. However, not a single event in my life scared me nearly as much as those kids. So there I am in my car staring at those kids and them staring at me. I can't take my stare away from them, and they start for my car. Startled to my senses, I turn the key, throw it in reverse, and get the hell out of there. I drive off, not daring to look into the rearview mirror. I know if I do look back, that I'll see those black eyes looking at me. I turn onto the main road and head to the short drive north of my campsite. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Why the hell are you still going camping? To be honest, I can't tell you why. I was just in so much shock that I wasn't really thinking. It wasn't until I was parked in the sand lot at the head of the White Pine Trail that my brain started functioning again. The drive home would only take 3 hours. I could make it home in time for dinner, but for some reason I talked myself out of it. Sitting in my car in the sun, on the beach, has a way of taking away all bad feelings. I just talked away my better judgment. I won't be doing that again. It's around 3 o'clock, and I know the sun will start to set in about 3 or 4 hours, so I know I should head towards my camping spot. It's not a very long walk from the parking lot to the White Pine Backcountry Campground, but it will take about 45 minutes, leaving me just a couple hours to set up camp. Gather firewood, cook dinner, and eat before nightfall. Fuck it, I remember saying to myself. I get my pack out of my back seat and take off down the trail. Now, there's two ways to access the White Pine Campground from where I was parked. I could either head through the woods, or I could walk along the beach. The wooded trail is quicker and shorter, and the beach trail is harder on the legs and lungs. Walking with a 50-pound pack in the sand is no picnic. However, considering what I just went through, I decided to go along the beach. It was more open, brighter, and kinder trail. To reach the campsite from the beach trail, you have to turn away from the lake and go about half a mile into the woods. Reaching my campsite, I find it, unfortunately, completely empty. The campground has 7 sites, I think, and not one of them has been taken. Usually, this would be a happy thing to me, but this time I wished for all my might for a little company. I pick a site hidden fairly well from the trail, feeling I didn't need anyone walking along to spot my tent. I unpack and set up my ultralight one-person tent, pull down my sleeping pad, and unroll my 0-degree rated mummy bag. Taking my walking stick, a sawed-off hockey stick, and a folding knife with me, I head into the woods to gather firewood. I pile up a good-sized pile, 3 times larger than I think I'll need, and proceed to light a fire. I cook my food and eat, all while watching the sun set through the trees. What is normally a beautiful, warming sight to me now only brings dread. I finish eating quickly, and I decide to gather even more firewood. I don't want to run out in the middle of the night. As the darkness descends upon the woods in my campsite, I get the fire going and rifle through my pack looking for my flask. This was a situation that called for a little liquid courage. I hit it hard. In the woods, the sun sets at first slower than you think, and then near the end, it just kind of falls out of the sky and is gone in a blink. So it did that night. Sitting next to the fire, I decide to move my tent closer to me, so I click on my flashlight and move my tent until it's right behind the small bench next to the fire ring. I like having a tent behind me protecting my back as I saw it. I'm glad I decided to gather more firewood because I'm burning through it quickly, keeping the fire as high as I am. Even though it's early autumn, the temperature was probably in the 40s. I was hot sitting so close to such a big fire. Part of getting away from it all for me is leaving my phone in the car. In civilization, I don't use a watch. I just look at my cell phone. However, this night I wish I had my cell phone on me. Not to call someone since there's no service, but to check the time. I wanted it to be late. I wanted the night to fly by and give me the security of morning. I finished the whiskey and wish I had brought more than the bottle with me from the car. The spirits had done their job though, and I was a bit calmer. Also, praise be to God, I was feeling sleepy too. Though the rules say don't go to bed with your fire burning, I sure as hell was not going to sleep without the fire. I got into my tent, leave my flap open with just the bug flap closed so I could see the fire and try to sleep. I don't know how long I lay there before sleep found me, but I eventually drift off. Thankfully, I can't remember any dreams. I woke up to a dead fire and the early dusk light coming in. I have to say I was slightly surprised to be alive. As dawn turned in today, I felt more and more foolish for the fear I felt yesterday. Being a usually calm, cool, and collected guy, I couldn't explain the intense dread and fear I felt when I saw those kids, but I did my best to ignore it and explain away their eyes pretty easily. I told myself the kids were camping at the Platte River Campground, same location as the ranger station I registered at. They had some colored contact lenses and were playing a joke. Simple. Possible, even. Probably, considering the alternative. I ate breakfast and then made a, upon hindsight, horrible decision. I decided to stay another night. After breakfast, I gathered firewood so that I wouldn't have to gather any when I got back for the evening. My pile of wood at a towering height, I hiked back to my car along the wooded trail. I was feeling awfully stupidly brave that morning. I arrived at my car and decided to go to the dune climb. The dune climb is a trail that begins at a towering dune and ends 1.5 miles away at Lake Michigan. The hike was uneventful but beautiful, providing me even more determination to not let myself be scared off by some stupid kids with contact lenses. I got back to my car from the round-trip hike around 1 o'clock. I got out my small camp stove and cooked some soup. Finishing lunch, I decided that I would take the scenic drive. I forget the name of the road. This is part of the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It's a winding drive with several scenic and educational pull-offs. It's relaxing and beautiful. I finished with that around 3 p.m., and I decided I would head to Traverse City, just a 45-minute drive away, and do a little shopping and grab an early dinner at a nice steakhouse. This is not something I normally do while camping, but after the previous night's events, I decided to treat myself. Traverse City is a nice town to visit if you ever have the chance. I went to the steakhouse just outside of Traverse around 4:30, figuring a quick dinner and a 45-minute drive and an hour walk would get me to my camp just at dusk. But that's not what happened. The restaurant was packed. I got a table fairly quickly, but the service was slow. At the end, I didn't get out of the restaurant until dusk. Cursing myself, it began to rain as I drove back to the trailhead parking lot. By the time I was at the lot and parked, it was full-blown nighttime. Sitting in the parking lot, listening to the wind and the rain, I was pretty damn scared again. I think that if nearly all my gear wasn't still at the campsite, I would have just drove home and said screw it. However, I couldn't abandon several $100 worth of camping equipment because I was scared. I gear up, flashlight, pocket knife, water bottle, headlamp, and walking stick. Again, I had two options, through the woods or along the beach. The storm clouds blocked out most of the star and moonlight, so it would have been kidding myself to think that the beach would have been better lit, but it was still more open and provided me a better feeling, so I took the beach path. The path is only a mile and a half long, along the beach, and then another half mile into the woods into the campsite. I figured if I hustled, I could be at my campsite in just a little over half an hour. I turned on my headlamp and moved off down the beach. The wind is hitting pretty hard and it's pretty damn cold, but I'm prepared. My coat has a nice rain shell and I'm not getting too wet. Hiking in the dark is not smart in the best of circumstances. In this area, there are cougars and bears, both rare, but the real danger is getting lost or stumbling over something and injuring yourself. However, I wasn't too worried about any of that. The animals are so rare in this area, it'd take very bad luck to get bothered by them, and the beach was clear of most debris that I would trip on. What worried me the most was a creeping sensation of paranoia. As I walked, the sensation of paranoia and dread grew. I stopped every 10 feet or so to look around, lighting the tall grass next to the beach before the woods with my headlamp. But I saw nothing and heard nothing. I'd walk another 10 feet and just know that someone was watching me. It was hard to hear anything over the lapping waves of the lake and the howling wind of the storm, but I swear I heard voices in the tall grass. I'd been walking probably half an hour, and I knew I would be meeting off with the trailhead into the woods and to my campsite any second now. But then my world fell apart. Having one of my strongest moments of feeling watched, I turned around, facing the direction I came, and there they were. The boy who spoke to me earlier couldn't have been more than 5 feet away, and the other boy, the quiet boy, was standing slightly behind him. Each of the boys stood motionless, staring, just staring. At this moment, I'm not sure I have the ability to put my terror into words. The best way I can describe it is to say that I felt like I was dying. I felt like I was in the hospital, and the doctor just told me I had moments to live. The talkative boy moved towards me. The only light on the beach came from my headlamp. Neither kid had any sort of flashlight. My LED beam flashed across their faces, reflecting grotesquely at their large black eyes. The waves crashed and the wind blew.
Help us.
I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. I could barely breathe. The boy moved closer. The quiet boy stepped to the side, almost like he was slowly circling behind me, and that broke the spell. I'm not fucking helping you, I said.
We're lost. We can't find our campsite.
Is this a game?
Take us with you, please. We'll die out here. We're afraid.
They're scared, I thought to myself. I'm scared. You're the one with the creepy-ass eyes and the vacant, hollow voices. You're the ones with the fish-eye stare. The quiet boy moved a little closer. He now stood beside me, just a couple feet away. The talkative boy was in front of me, blocking the way I had come, blocking the path back to my car. Then things got even weirder. Okay, you can come with me, I said. I don't even remember thinking the words. They just came out. The talkative boy smiled and he reached out to take my hand. The fight or flight response hit me so hard it was like a physical punch to the stomach. I recoiled at the sight of this monster trying to take my hand. Before I even realized it, I'm running down the beach. I'm sprinting away from the little bastards and to my car as fast as I can. I don't look behind me. I don't know if they're following me or not. I don't even want to know. All I know is I need to run faster. I'm in decent shape, but given any normal circumstance, I would have never been able to run so quickly for so long on a beach. My headlamp bouncing up and down, I see the offshoot trail from the beach into the woods. Without much thought, if any, I take the trail and head into the woods. My senses finally returning to me, I jump off the trail and move a little way into the woods. I turn off my headlamp and lie among some tall grass. I watch the trail waiting to see the kids following. I waited in the rain and the cold for God knows how long. A couple hours at least. But no kids. The cold was slowly creeping in. I wasn't sure if I was shivering because of the adrenaline, the fear, or the cold. But I do know I was starting to freeze. I had to leave my concealment and make my way to shelter. I had two options, the tent and the sleeping bag or the car. The car meant safety. It meant home. However, it also meant that I would have to walk a mile and a half in the dark with God knows who or what waiting for me. The The tent meant warmth and shelter from the elements. It meant exposure to the kids. If the kids knew where I was hiking and when, then they'd know where I was camping, right? It was an impossible decision. It was choosing the lesser of two evils. I chose the tent. I couldn't force myself to go back on the wooded trail, and I sure as hell wasn't going back along the beach. I crossed my fingers and prayed that the little bastards didn't know where my tent was. I got up and found the trail and sprinted the half mile to the campground. As I ran, a thought occurred. Maybe someone will have hiked it during the day. Maybe I'll have company. There was no life at the campground. When I arrived at the campground, I made a wide circle of it, looking for other campers and for the little devils. I saw nothing and no one. I made my way quietly as possible to my tent. I unzipped the fly and crawled in. I thought briefly about a fire, but I decided that would be more of a signal to the kids than deterrence. My clothes were sopping wet and I was still very cold. I had to take them off. My pack is leaning against the tree about 15 feet from my tent. Inside are clean and dry clothes sealed tightly in a wet bag. However, now that I'm inside the tent, I'm sure as hell not going back out there. The tent gave me some sense of security, even though it wasn't in any way secure. Now I'm naked, I crawl inside my mummy bag. After a few moments, I warm up, but the shivering takes another third of an hour or so to subside. As I'm lying there, I wish so much that I had a bottle of whiskey in my car. The rain plays against the leaves in the trees, and the wind creaks in the branches. Under the best of circumstances, this is a night where a person's mind can get away from them. For me, it was utter terror. My imagination made every creak, every howl of the wind, into something sinister. As the hours passed, my adrenaline faded and I felt immensely tired. I wanted so badly just to fall asleep. In sleep, I wouldn't know I was being eviscerated. I'd either wake up or I wouldn't. I thought it was a nightmare at first, when I heard the voice say, "Something." I thought I was dreaming. But then sleep cleared from my head and I realized I was awake. It was still night. The storm was still biting.
"Help us,"
an unmistakable voice said. I couldn't help it. It was a gut reaction. I screamed. I lay naked in my mummy bag, zipped to my chin. I was completely helpless. I felt like a newborn baby and my fate completely held in the hands of others.
"Please let us in."
"No," I screeched, and then again, "No."
"It's so cold. Please let us in, mister."
I stopped replying and could only sob, like a heartbroken teenage girl, like a woman who just learned her sister died. I sobbed. I was so uncontrollably scared that I think it helped me not pay attention to the kids' demands, at least not fully.
"Let us in."
I tugged the pull string of the hood of my mummy bag until I was completely enveloped. I just kept repeating, not daring to listen to the kids, the words "no, no, 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 no." I waited for death. I knew it was coming. Any second, I'd be ripped to shreds. The kids kept saying something, but I wasn't listening. I wouldn't listen. I knew how overwhelming their hypnotic power was. I did everything I could to not listen. I kept chanting my mantra, kept howling my nose. I don't know when I fell asleep, but the next thing I know, I startle awake. The sun is shining and I'm alive. I don't know how, but I'm alive. I look around my small tent and I don't see anything amiss on the inside. It takes me several minutes to gather the courage necessary to unzip the tent fly, but finally I do. I peek my head out and see no one. Naked, I run to my pack and grab my clothes from the dry bag. I toss some clothes on and race back to the tent. I tear it down in a matter of moments. I pack my sleeping bag and pad and take the tent on my pack. And then I take off down the trail. I decide one more time to take the beach trail. In the sun and warmth of the morning, it's an entirely different trail. The only moment I'm given pause is when I come across a duck with what seems to be its heart torn out. I took a photo with my disposable camera in my pack and I move on. I arrive at my car and find it untouched. It's been almost 2 entire months since this happened, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. I haven't gone camping since, and I don't know if I'll ever feel safe hiking again. Maybe I'll go camping again sometime in the future, but I'm gonna bring a friend. No more going at it alone. I thankfully haven't seen any more black-eyed kids. I don't want to think about whether they're demons or monsters, aliens, or hybrids. I was interested at first. I did some research because I wanted to know if I was crazy. I don't care what you think they are. I don't care why they are. I just wanted to know that I wasn't the only one that had this experience, and I'm not, and I'm thankful for that. My advice is, if you ever do encounter a black-eyed kid, don't listen to it speak. Don't be polite in case they're just weird kids. Don't question their validity. Don't worry about looking silly or that others will think you're crazy. Just run. Run and don't look back. The end. I liked that one because it was like, it was different than the typical house stories and things like that, you know?
That is, it's definitely, I haven't heard anything like that.
But it still had that idea that they couldn't get in the tent because it was like his personal property. So it worked with the car thing from the origin story. So that's why I liked that one.
It's a good story. It's definitely intriguing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that concludes our 1 year anniversary episode on the Black Eyed Children. We hope you guys enjoyed it. You can, as always, like we stated earlier, find all the links to our socials in the link tree below. And make sure you join us tomorrow, Tuesday, September 17th, our actual 1 year anniversary, in our Facebook group for the live. And we'll be discussing Jomini Ramsey. And we will see you guys then. Bye, guys.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.